podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Lester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favorite podcasts.
England! England!
Looking back through the years we can hold back, the tears and the fears, we gotta be what we can be, cause we can write a new history, yeah. So we on Kane, Sterling, we believe we wear the lines high on our sleeves, so we are England through and through. Come on England, we love you.
Till I Die TV. Your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
All right, Chris.
All right, how the devil are we? I hope you are well, and I hope you are doing very well as well. Welcome along there. Just a quick one there. You can see we are on Twitch now, Leicester Till I Die. So it's LTID TV on Twitch, exactly the same if you want to just catch up with some jokey bits on TikTok. But of course, our main areas are YouTube, Leicester Till I Die TV. Please, if you haven't already, or you're watching on another way, please give us a subscribe on that. Go over to YouTube. And if you're on YouTube and you haven't yet, do what it says right there. Subscribe. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, as always, thank you so very much. This is where you can find us.
Broadcasting live worldwide. Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favorite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Right, Chris.
Yeah, it's sloppy seconds night, and somebody who is, he's not used to having a sloppy second, and that's Dan. Good evening, sir. Standing in for Doug tonight, which again is better because you're normally standing in shit, so welcome along. How the devil are you, sir?
I'm all right. I'm looking forward to this. I'm just to let everyone out there know, I am not that clued up. I have had to do my homework when it comes to World Cup things.
Just stand there, you're not that clued up. That's the sentence.
Yeah, that's the end. Full stop. That's it. Need say more. But no, thank you for having me, Chris. Look forward to it.
You know what? I'll have you anytime, mate. You know that. Even when it's a sloppy second. So, actually, I'm really pleased that. I'm not pleased that Doug's not here, of course, but I do. It does mean that I don't have to apologise for Scotland not being there again, which I have to do. Which I have to do every week. We are going through the sections, as you know. James is back. Good evening, James. How the devil are you, sir? Thanks for popping back again. People will talk about us, and don't forget that if, like James, you've got nothing to do on Wednesday evening, and I know you haven't, Dan, because it's Burnley. We're doing this Wednesday evening, and James is on it. Indeed, it's the new home and away quiz. We had the pilot the other week when Dan actually managed to beat Brad. It's a shame it was just the pilot, but he has got a tougher job next week when he takes on 14-year-old Jake from West Ham. Yes, make sure you got your... He's only small, mate. Make sure you got your cricket box on. But no, James... James, who is an Everton fan, will be on Wednesday at 9, taking on Jamie, and this is going to be confusing, who is a Liverpool fan. So that could be interesting. And Dan has checked the you thirsty, mate? Dan has checked the questions for me. Mike, good evening. Only big countries got to the World Cup by Scotland. Honestly, I've spoken as a typical Welshman, really, is there. Anyway, so you are tonight going to be looking at Group D with me. Doug has already provided his first, second, third, and what have you for the group, but we're going to get yours as well at the end and just compare and see how you do. So let me have a little play, as the actress said to the Archbishop, and we'll see if we can. There you go. You honestly, you think I did this as a job, wouldn't you? So, I mean, this is you. This is your first time on the show, and I did ask Doug this in week one. But what I mean, Qatar. I mean, it's a joke, isn't it? Really,
it is. It's an absolute farce. It's money oriented, isn't it? I mean, to be fair, the only reason why it's there is due to money. Right now, you know, we'd have been in the, you know, we'd have been coming up towards the business end of the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, as it stands. And I think we had a really good bid for it, but it just goes to show no matter.
I didn't think we were in for this one, were we?
Oh, no, it might not have been.
I mean, were
we not in for the Russia one?
Yes, I think we were in for the Russia one.
Might have been, either way, I mean, whether you bid for that one, this one, or whatever, when with Seb Blatter in charge, it was always going to be about money. And the only reason it's gone to Qatar, I just want to say on Qatar as well, you know, a massive respect to all those people that work their arse off to build these stadiums. Condolences to all the families of people that were lost trying to build these stadiums and just throwing them up. And I also want to say, send my condolences out to Paul Gregory. He's better known in the football world as Tango. Funnily enough, Chris, you know, the Sheffield Wednesday fan. He's found out some news that his daughter, who turned 28 last week, is now on end of life care. And to be honest, you know, he's a massive England fan. He's going to Qatar. Obviously, the circumstances might change that, but depending on everything that happens, I just want to send my well wishes out to Paul Gregory and, as everyone knows in the football world, Tango.
Yeah, so. Indeed. Our commiserations and best wishes go out to him. And this is the second night running you've cheered me up. what is it with you and talking about death, mate?
You know? I can't help it.
Talking of which, good evening, Nippon. How the devil are you, sir? Now, all seriousness, our best wishes go out to him. I mean, I'm all for the World Cup going to these different places. But when you think, like, okay, so FIFA want, and we know they're as bent as a hose pipe, but allegedly, but, you know, it's you want to spread the word about football around the world. So why have we been back to Brazil three times? Why have we been back to Germany twice? Why are we going back to America when they've already had it? So you're not really spreading the word around at all.
No, you're not.
You know,
you're going where that is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Canada, yeah, great. They're in for the next one. They've not hosted it before. Great. America have and Mexico have. So as always, FIFA, you are talking out of that big hole that you have got in your backside. And
I'll tell you something now, Chris, as well. Hardly any fans will be out there. Hardly any fans will be out there because it's not just the fact of, oh, it's Qatar, let's go there. You know, oh, it's, you know, I could have a holiday in Dubai. No, can you bollocks? There's a shit ton of rules and regulations that come with this Qatar World Cup. You know, your human rights have to be considered. You can't say boo to a goose or you're locked up. For me, this tournament is just going to be a shambles. It's going to be like the Liverpool in France fiasco.
Yeah.
It's just going to be an absolute mess.
I think when you're abroad, you should always, anyway, respect the local laws. And And a lot of football fans in general, and probably quite a lot of English fans, don't do that. But
so what you're saying is, Chris, roll up a 20, stick it up your backside just to be safe.
What I'm saying is respect local laws and customs. That's what I am saying. Because, you know, football fans are all very good at always going like, oh, it wasn't us. Well, you know, a lot of the time it is you. So just have a respect for the local law. Whether we love it or hate it, it's there. Let's get on with it. And there you can see the final groups now that all the playoffs have been finished. Wales sneaked in past Ukraine, who beat Scotland to be able to play Wales, but then they got beaten by Scotland the other night in the Nations League. So you work that one out. Australia have got through to Group D, which we're going to be looking at in a minute. So they got through their playoff. And the other playoff was Costa Rica, I think it was, who got through to Group E. So there is the full lineup from, and there's some notable misses, as in, you know, Italy. But it's good to see the lights. Well, I don't know if Costa Rica is going to bring me back too many memories of Roy Hodgson and that absolutely awful time he had in Brazil, and we couldn't even beat Costa Rica. But we will see. Now, here are some key dates for your diaries, guys. Just do this every week as a quick reminder. August the 6th is when the Premier League starts. November the
29th of July for Championship, Chris.
Who cares about the Championship? I mean, really? Come on, you might as well follow Scottish football. 12th to 13th of November is the final round of Premier League matches. No, I was waiting you to go in there with the...
Wait, same. It's over the 12th and 13th. The 21st and 13th. And we play Blackburn. We play Blackburn just before the winter break, which will be interesting.
Nobody cares, but Dan. The 21st is when the World Cup starts. November the 2nd, the final set of group stage matches. December the 3rd to 6th, the round of 16 starts. December 9th to 10th is the quarterfinals. The 13th to 14th is the semis, and we all like a good semi in the winter, don't we? And December the 18th is the World Cup final, and then December the 26th, it's the Premier League resumes, and we've got I think we've got Liverpool, I might think, but anyway, ooh, that's when I think the Championship, I think, just start the week before or something, doesn't it?
If I remember rightly, I know we've got Birmingham on Boxing Day when the Premier League comes back.
Maybe you don't then.
But I'm not sure. I don't know whether we actually play through it. I'm just going to have a look at the fixtures now. No, we're curtailed. We go back on the 10th of December.
So you go back whilst the World Cup is still going on?
Yeah, yeah.
This tin pot, second tier football, they don't even want you at the World Cup. What can I say? That is a separate argument for a separate day.
Definitely.
And just a bit of fun here. Chris Welsh has popped in. Chris, good evening. How the devil are you? Welcome along.
Evening, Chris.
This will be the sixth World Cup this century. And Brazil won it in 02, Italy in 06, Spain in 10, Germany 14, France 18. So we've not had any doubles up this century yet. No sloppy seconds. And this is how many titles. I mean, Brazil have won it 5 times, Germany 4, Italy 4, Argentina 2, France 2, Uruguay 2, and then down at the bottom, England and Spain 1 each. I mean, you look at that and you can see, I mean, that's looking at the Premier League from the last sort of 10 seasons, you know, Man City 5, Chelsea 3. It is the same teams. And I would love, personally, for an African team or somebody that hasn't won it yet.
Funny you say that. That's what I think is going to happen. I think for me, it's going to be won by an African team.
Do you? Right.
I do.
We will see. I mean, everybody's saying about it, you know, it's the right place for them to do it. Then you could have said South Africa was. But, I mean, the stadiums are supposed to be air-conditioned for everybody's comfort, so it shouldn't affect anybody. It's, you know, it shouldn't be like playing in Mexico where you're having to play outdoors. It's indoors, roofs on, air conditioning on. That can actually be quite a chilly experience.
Well, we saw England playing Hungary and Wolverhampton. It's not exactly, you know, the weather's not always sunshining over there, and we all know what happened in that fixture. So
we do.
Air conditioning does not make a difference.
Hair conditioning does, but not necessarily to me or you, Dan. Chris says, Dan spoiled his tournament predictions already. Indeed.
It could be worse. Right. I could have said North Macedonia. Listen, at least one of us has said something a little bit believable on this channel.
They're not even there this time. I mean, God, Brad's not even going to watch the Bran. That's like a mixture, isn't it? Brad's not even going to be able to support North Macedonia this time. Doug says, "Welcome along, Doug. I did hear the Scotland jibes. I'm used to it. Only joking. Good evening. Good evening, Doug. Oh." Two words, Doug. Delamitri. Don't come home too soon. and I'm not even going to put that one up, Dan. That joke just is not worth that. Ooh. No, that's bad. That's bad. Right, Group D. Sorry?
He said I'm not putting that up, Dan.
Doug, sorry, he's put a joke up. I'm ignoring you. Group D, then. France, we know it's Austria there, Denmark and Tunisia are the group that we are going to be looking at. So probably the strongest team in the group. France, FIFA ranking 3 at the moment. Obviously qualified in Europe, from Europe, qualified quite early, November last year they qualified. They were first in the group. They've been to 16 of the 22 World Cups that have taken place since its inception. And they've won it twice, the last time in 2018. Let's be honest, Brad, whichever team you support, you've got to look at the French and you've got to enjoy the way they play, don't you?
You have, although I am Dan, Chris.
Oh, God. What did I call you?
Brad.
Brad, oh, I call you.
I'm used to it now. It's like that dinner lady at school that you always used to call your wrong name and you just went along with it because you thought, as long as she passes you food, I'm not arsed.
Exactly. But Dan, you've got to appreciate the French, haven't you?
You have. They've got an abundance of quality in the squad. And, you know, we've been saying, you know, their neighbours, Belgium, we spoke about, you know, we can speak about them, how they've had the likes of Lukaku and, you know, Kevin De Bruyne and stuff like that. But this French side has got all these big hitting players. As Doug says there in the comments, I was just going to get to that, you know, they do have that curse. They won the last one. The pressure is on their shoulders. You've got Nkante at Chelsea. You've got, Luka Dean at Villa, but he was probably a standout player at Everton. Benzema and Ferland Mendy at Real Madrid. Mbappe, you know, Olivier Giroud still knocking around the place. Griezmann, Pogba. And obviously he might be hitting a good bit of form once he, you know, settles back in at Juventus again. So it's a squad full of talent, and it doesn't just stop, you know, in terms of their attacking side. Defensively, they're great, as I said, Ferland Mendy, Luka Dean, Kimpembe. They've, Hugo Lloris, sorry, as well. Don't rule out the keepers. The quality at the back, all over the pitch is quality. And as I say, it's just they're going to have, without sounding like a pun, the weight of the world on their shoulders going into this tournament.
Indeed. And you mentioned Pogba there. I mean, he's always done well for France, hasn't he? Even though he's been basically shit at Man United or wherever he's been. Yeah. But he's turned it on for his country, hasn't he?
He has. I mean, look at that pass he played in the last World Cup where it's outside of the boot and he played it forward. It was tremendous, absolutely tremendous. One of the best passes I've seen. And you need players like that. You need influential players that even if they're not having a good game, even if they're not having a good game, you know full well that players like Paul Pogba have that little, you know, all it takes is that one moment that he can turn it on. Whether it's good or bad, and as I say, they've got that in abundance of the French.
Yeah. Nippon, I don't know what you're on, but can I have 2 pints of it, please? France will finish bottom of their group.
What?
Well, they are playing their nearest rivals, aren't they? Australia. I mean, James has got his thinking hat on it. Yeah, France should top the group, but strange things can happen. Chris says it should be France, Denmark, Tunisia, Australia. Chris goes on to say, when it comes to club football, Pogba too worried about his bank account. And Nippon says the Belgian Darren Bent. Who are you referring to there? I mean, I'm looking at France's history here. I mean, yes, they won it, but it wasn't that. It was only actually 6 World Cups ago that they actually didn't qualify for 2. And I'm like, well, I don't remember that. 1990, I mean, they hadn't qualified in 70 or 74. But then again, we can't really say much because nor did we in 74. They qualified in Argentina in 78. They came fourth in Spain in 92, third in Mexico, and then they didn't qualify for 2. But since then, they've been champions twice and runners-up once. So, you know, they're not had an outstanding World Cup record, do they?
No. I mean, it's like I said there. I was saying about the abundance of quality players they've got. And yet, you look at the abundance of quality players that England had at the time, you know, Beckham, Scholes and things like that. And you're thinking, in that wonder generation, why did we not win anything? Okay, granted, they won something in 2018, but they've got to keep that revolution going. Yeah. And I didn't want to say revolution and, you know, the French Revolution and stuff like that. Don't want to be bringing that shit up again. Don't want to get political. But you know, they need that. You know, they need to keep that momentum going.
On the chopping
going.
Block if you do, mate.
But yeah, I can only see France topping the group. Not just so much about what the players, but they'll feel like they have to at least get out of this group. You know, knowing full well that they're the holders of the last World Cup.
I mean, they've not lost a game in the World Cup since 2014, when they lost 1-0 to Germany in the quarterfinal in Brazil. Since then, they've won 6, and they've drawn 1. So I don't think anybody would take them particularly not seriously, but, you know, it's not a bad record, that, is it?
No, is it? It's not to go unnoticed. Yeah. You know, Australia, Denmark and Tunisia will be... It'll be wanting to be out of those three teams. They'll be like, right, let's be the one that upsets the apple cart. But I can't but see it if it's been going for so many years.
You mentioned the curse, and I must admit, I'm one of these that I love YouTube videos. The short, you know, 20-minute videos that you don't have to commit yourself, like, you know, the next week to binge watching. You just watch it for 20 minutes and go to sleep afterwards. And there's so many, like, sort of biggest upsets of the you know, World Cups and what have you. And there's also a couple about how many World Cups are actually maybe not as honest as they should be. But, you know, we've seen it happen. You know, Germany have gone in as holders and gone out at the group stage. So we're bigging France up here. But like you say, that would be the surprise if they didn't go through, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, massive surprise. And I think, if anything, as England, you know, as England as a nation, as a fan, you'd be like, "Wow, hold us out in the group stage."
Mm.
You know, you no matter who you are, you'd be stunned by it. So it's almost a burden, but the fact that they've managed to deal with this since 2014 and go on and win a tournament within that, you'd sort of think they've got the knack to carry it on.
But do you not find with, and I always say this very much with Premier League clubs, is that, you know, it goes in circles. You know, Liverpool in the 70s and 80s were the dominant team. Then it was Man United for numerous years under Alex Ferguson. Now it's Manchester City, a bit of Chelsea in there. But it, that's how it's been. And I think that happens with national teams as well at World Cups. They do, you know, you do seem to have this sort of period of dominance. But as those particular players move on, you can't, you know, you have that golden generation, like you say. And if you don't win something during that, then, you know, it may never happen for you.
No. And they've got good young players coming through, though, as well. Mm. You know, so it's not like, you know, some nations, they, you know, I'm sure we'll get on to Australia and teams like Tunisia and stuff like that later on. But teams like that, scream for at least one of their players to be a superstar.
Well,
France has got them all over the pitch.
We will discuss that actually in more detail when we come to Tunisia. James said here, remember 2010, France finished bottom of their group back then.
They did.
In 2010, they drew 0-0 with Uruguay, and that was their only point. They lost 2-0 to Mexico, and they lost 2-1 to South Africa. So, yep, you're quite right. But as Chris said here, France have the best squad depth up there with Germany and Brazil. They do have that squad depth in the sort of international team. But you've got to look at it and go, well, this is tournament football. And tournament football, you don't get the big breaks like, you know, a week between games like you do back home, and things can change. The old Deli Belly as well, let's not forget that. Doug says France have an A team, a B team, a C team, and a D team. Depth is insane.
Yeah.
You know, the E team, I think, is Burnley. That was the World Cup because Anelka was sent home in disgrace. Ah, yes, I remember that. So after France, and I put this in the wrong order, but as the order I thought it was in, Denmark. Obviously, you know, Leicester City, we've got a soft spot for Denmark. We've got their goalkeeper. We've got their number one defender in Yannick Vestergaard. And hopefully, apparently, we have put an offer in for Eriksen, and he is mulling it over with all the others he's got. So,
well, you've got two keepers at Denmark, aren't you? Because you've got Dan Iversen as well.
You have done your homework, haven't you?
I have indeed. I thought Brentford were bad for Danish players.
No. You've got to say, though, Danish players, they do bring home the bacon.
Hey.
Oh, it just carries on. Doug, you're not needed anymore. 11th in the world rankings for FIFA from Europe. They qualified even earlier than France did on the 12th of October, first in the group F. So honestly, they're a bit pissed, really, because if the big countries like England, France and Denmark don't get out of the groups the way they're set up, like Italy haven't, there is something majorly wrong. And this has been six of their 22 World Cup appearances. So it'll be their seventh World Cup, but they haven't won it yet. What are your thoughts on Denmark as a team?
Well, as you said, they were only the second European nation to reach the World Cup, well, to qualify, after beating Austria. They had a comfortable lead. Sorry to get it in, but I had to. Unassailable lead is the right word to say. 7-point lead over second place Scotland.
I'm glad to see you sitting on the fence. You're not showing any bias at all. Good evening, Jordan. How are you, sir?
Hope you're well, Jordan. But as you say, Denmark are another team.
Come home too soon. Sorry, when you say Scotland, I do think of that song now.
It's, you know, they're another team that obviously the incident that happened in the Euros spurred them on to get further than what they probably would have thought they was going to achieve. But that was due to a good team togetherness. And I think now that Eriksen's back in the fray, they need to still keep that going. As you said there, they've got some good, they've got, again, some good players. You've got Kasper, who's been brilliant on the national stage. Vestergaard, they've got Christian Norgaard at Brentford. Højbjerg from Spurs. Yes. Andreas Christiansen, who's just become a free agent at Chelsea. So, you know, you've got a decent squad there. It's just getting them to play, getting them to work. Joachim Mayle, the right back.
If anybody is interested, by the way, I have put the link in there to a very, you know, I think we should have, actually, we might have a show on World Cup songs and go through all the World Cup songs that there are. And this one would probably, I didn't even know this one until recently, but if you just don't leave the show, but just click it on and open it in another window and have a listen to it. It will bring tears to your eyes. But probably not for the right reasons. Sorry,
I just want to quote what Doug said there when he said, obviously, they beat them 2-0. That's like Burnley getting relegated again, but saying that we took 6 points off Blackburn. It's not good. It doesn't make, still, you know, yeah. It's not, you know, yeah, okay, we won, but at what cost?
Maybe Scotland just need to start playing in kilts.
Maybe. As soon as people start... Oh, that's a foul. Look, he hit me with his leg. That wasn't my leg.
I'm just thinking, carry on up the Khyber. I don't know if anybody remembers that. The famous lift up the quilt scene. The quilt?
To be fair, Chris, their right back, Joachim Mayle from Atlanta, he was one of the standout right backs of the Euros last, you know.
I actually do know his brother, first class. Boom, get in
you know,
there.
You know what, though? The thing I like about that, Chris, is that it was just there. Just there. Like, it was the first thing that came into your head.
Well, there's nothing else in there to stop it. I mean, they have got some class players, and yeah, I don't think anybody would probably be upset if they actually went on to win the whole thing. You know, I mean, Greece in the Euros came from nowhere. I remember when Yugoslavia got, was it that was that the time Yugoslavia got thrown out because of the civil wars all over the place? And I think Greece were invited in and they had to get all the players back from holiday.
Yeah, I think so.
But looking here, I mean, Denmark, they've not been in an awful many. They didn't enter sort of from 1930. They didn't qualify in 58, they didn't enter in 62. They did not qualify from 66 to 1982. And when they don't enter, I do know how that feels. My wife used to tell me regularly. 1986, they got to the round of 16th, finishing ninth. I don't know how to work that out. They didn't qualify then, they missed two and qualified for 98, and they got through to the quarterfinals in France in 98. Round of 16 in Korea, Japan. Didn't qualify for Germany. Group stage in South Africa. Didn't qualify for Brazil. Round of 16 in 2018 in the last World Cup. So, you know, they've probably not fulfilled the potential, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, it's only the second time in their history that they're contesting successive World Cups. You know, as you said then, you know, the last times were 98 and 2002.
Yeah.
So to do back to back, round of 16, you know, was probably good for them in the Euros. Not in the Euro, sorry, in 2018 World Cup. So, you know, it's the sixth World Cup that they've been involved in. They'll get out the group stage for me. I think they'll get out the group stage with France.
Yeah. But, I mean, talking to Doug still watching, actually, do you know, and not a lot of people know this, but Denmark's first ever game in the World Cup on the 4th of June, 1986, and that was the World Cup, the first World Cup they qualified for in Mexico. they played Scotland in their first game and they won 1-0. So sorry, Doug. Just gets worse and worse and worse for you, doesn't it? I've got a sneaky feeling for Denmark. I don't know that they'll go all the way, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them maybe get at least to the quarters, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they'll want to go one better than the round of 16. So now that they had that successful run, you know, when they had the successful run in the Euros, as I said earlier, they need to carry on that momentum and hopefully it'll push them onto the quarters, if not, you know, all the way.
Yeah. In that group in 1986, they had like obviously the first group and they played three teams. There was Denmark, West Germany, Uruguay and Scotland in that group. Denmark won all three games and topped the group with 6 points. And the first three went through to the next stage, the knockout. So it was only the fourth one that went home. Germany, believe it or not, was second in the group. Won one, drew one, lost one. Uruguay was third and Scotland were bottom and went home. Sorry, that's what you get there, Scotland. it just gets worse, honestly. There's nothing like taking the piss out of Scotland and Wales, is there? It really is not. Well done, Scotland. You managed to draw one. Don't know who that was against, but you didn't win any at all, and you came home much too soon, according to Delamitri. I'm going to have to see if I can get that track, aren't I? But anyway, that's Denmark. I say I have a sneaky feeling for the quarters at least for them.
Yeah, yeah. I think they'll go far.
I'm not coming back. You know what I mean? I'm not coming back. Come on, Doug. You wait till you hear your best man speech. Okay, let's have a look at everybody's favourite, Tunisia. Now, they're a proud footballing nation. I can remember being in Tunisia on holiday and I had sort of England tops on and I think it was around one of the World Cups and they all kept trying to buy an England top off me. Did you want to buy that? And I think I got the up to like one England top for three Tunisian tops at the end. But they're 35th in the FIFA ranking. Obviously, they're in the African region. What a fantastic day for them to qualify. March the 29th, 2022. If anybody wants to make a note of it, it is an excellent day. It's my birthday. So, just in case, let's leave that there for a minute to give me time to get a bit of pad and paper. 29th of March, my birthday.
I think Kate's just got up from front room. I think she's gone to write it on calendar.
Well done, Kate. Well done.
I'm a bit more surprised it's not already written on, to be honest, Chris.
Well, you don't know when your aunties is, do you? I found that out earlier.
No, that's true.
James Edward Jokers. They qualified via the playoffs. And again, obviously they've never won it, but they've actually been to 6 World Cups so far. And that's a fair play to them. They are, I would tend to say, one of the more regular, and I say regular, I don't mean, you know, the fact that they've got dodgy water over there, but the more regular African teams that appear at the World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I mean, as you said, they secured it, you know, they were held to a draw by Mali, I think it were, in the second leg of the African playoff and qualified via that. So to get to the World Cup for them is, again, it's another massive thing. You know, they're coming up against these teams, as we said earlier, France. If they get out of the group, they're going to come up against much harder opposition. You know, we've seen with this Nations League and friendlies and stuff that you get teams like Tunisia and you think, you know, let's not bite the bat. They are, you know, they're 30th in the FIFA World Rankings. Yeah, I know it says there, it says on yours they're 35th, but they've been, as of the 29th of March. As of the 29th of March this year, they've gone up to 30th. You know, they've earned a spot amongst the top 10 highest ranked African teams. So, you know, they're not here just to make up the numbers.
Mm, indeed. Yeah, we do, Doug. We do. And I mean, it's a bit like, I suppose, getting Tunisia in the World Cup in your group. It's a bit like drawing Burnley in the FA Cup. You look at it, you think, well, we should win. But
is that Burnley in the FA Cup under Dash or Burnley in the FA Cup now? Because under Dash, we didn't do cups.
Exactly. That's what I'm referring to. you did a Twiggy. It just wasn't worth you having any cups, was it?
No, talking, definitely not.
Talking of...
fucking hell, Ducky.
You know, I mean, this is what I said about Burnley. I mean, good God, you know. How much have you put in on it, Ducky? In fact, so confident he is, he's named it twice. There you go. Tunisia made it a tricky game for England in 2018. Ooh. Yes, they did. I think we only got through last minute, didn't we?
Yeah.
They'll want to prove a point, but obviously the quality both France and Denmark will be too much. I think you could be right there, James. That was Mali Tunisia, says Doug.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I mean, funnily enough, what they qualified for the World Cups in 1930, 34, 38, 50, and 54. They were part of France. I don't know if France qualified, to be honest with you. I didn't check that, but yeah, for the first bit, of course, they were sort of part of France. In 66, they withdrew. Don't know why. They obviously didn't fancy coming to England. They qualified in 78 in Argentina with all the ticker tape and the hand of God and cheating Maradona. And ninth, they came, yeah, they got through the group stage. Group stage, they got through in 96, 02 and 06. Didn't qualify for a couple, and then in Russia they got through to the group stage. So again, not to be taken lightly.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. As I said, top 10 African teams, not there to make up the numbers. Got some decent players as well, actually. There is
Name me some, Dan.
A Leicester connection for you, Chris. I'll give you one of them. Johan Beneluan.
Yes.
I think that's how it was pronounced. Obviously, became a bit of a turncoat, played for Forest more recently, but obviously had a spell at Leicester. I don't know whether he's still in the fray now because he's about 35.
To be totally honest with you, he was there was absolutely nothing wrong with him at all. He just did not. He was a Ranieri signing after we'd won the Premier League, and we didn't make many good. I mean, he was there with the Slimanis. Oh no, he wasn't. I tell a lie. No, because he actually won a medal for winning the Premier League. So he was there before then, but he just didn't. I mean, I think the defensive partnership we had with
Morgan and Hoof
and Wes Morgan, he was never going to get in there. No, but then we got some injuries in later stages of the Champions League, and he never let us down. You know, I think he made one or two mistakes, but as a squad player, I rated him. I really did.
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. As I say, I don't know whether he'll be involved now being 35, but, you know, you've got Wabi Kazri, who's at St. Etienne, formerly of Sunderland. You got Hannibal, the young 19-year-old from Man United's academy.
I hope he's not bringing any elephants with him. They're making that mess of the pitch, aren't they?
You've got Omar Rekic at centre-back. Again, 20-year-old Arsenal youth player. He spent last season on loan with Sparta Rotterdam. So there's a few players that we've seen in the English game that are playing for Tunisia now. Mm. And it's interesting. I mean, another player, you've got Mohamed Draga, who I think he spent last season on loan at Luzern, but he's on loan from Notts Forest. So whether we'll see him in the Premier League next season is yet to be seen.
Yeah. I think they might have a difficulty getting out of this group, but as I say, not to be taken lightly by any stretch of the imagination. And the last one in here, g'day, and welcome along to Australia. as likely at the World Cup as they are in the Eurovision Song Contest. 42nd in the FIFA ranking. Now, they qualify from Asia, although they are in Oceania. But they never got through when they were very much were in the Oceania group. And again, I think this is FIFA playing around, because how Australia gets into the Asia group when they're in Oceania, like New Zealand, yeah, I don't know. They qualified in June by a playoff, which if you saw, I just hope that one of their games in the World Cup goes to a penalty shootout, because that, I want to say that idiot that they've got in goal, but he did. He got them through, so I can't really have a go at him. But he just looked like an idiot. I mean, Dudek, when he did it for Liverpool, you kind of had to laugh. This one, it was like a fucking marionette with his legs everywhere. You know, it was like Brad on Heat. but anyway, they've been in the six finals. It's going to be a short visit for them, though, isn't it, Dan?
Oh, it's not that far, is it really? exactly. To be fair, I were going to say it, and I thought, you know what, I'm not going to be stereotypical, because there's going to be Aussies out there that's just going, really? That the best you've got?
Doug's done it here, so he might as well.
Yeah, exactly. He saved us from it. But, you know, they've qualified for the World Cup finals on six occasions, 1974, 2006. 2010, 2014, 2018, and 2020. So 2022, sorry. So, you know, they've, especially in recent times, as you see there, 2006, 10, 14, 18, and 22, they've sort of made their way there. Another team that really aren't going to be there to make up the numbers. They are, I'd say their players now probably aren't as good as what they've had.
No.
You know, they've had some talent in the past, with, you know, the likes of Tim Cahill,
Harry Kewell, Craig Johnson. You remember him, don't you?
I do now.
private joke, Mark, guys.
Mark Viduka.
Yeah, it's a good one. Good call there.
So, you know, they've had their sort of heyday of big players. But then sometimes these players that you've never heard of or aren't really in the spotlight can sometimes throw up a shock. And there's going to be a lot of people, as we've seen in, you know, in football at the minute, the transfer window's open. Everybody's going to want to make a good move for their chances for World Cups. So if there's any Aussies out there trying to play out their skin to qualify, I mean, we've got a few in the English game. We've got Bailey Wright, Sunderland. Aaron Moy, that used to play for Brighton and Man City, he's playing in Shanghai now. Matty Ryan, the goalkeeper, that used to be at Brighton and Arsenal, he's at Real Sociedad. Massimo Luongo, who's just left Sheffield Wednesday on a free agent. Harry Soutar at Stoke. And Daniel Arzane, who's a youngster on loan from Manchester, who spent season on loan out from Manchester City last year. So, they've got some young players mixed with, you know, the likes of Aaron Moy, who I think probably will still have it. As James says there, Mark Schwarzer, another one. Mark Schwarzer, bloody hell, yeah.
Leicester again, you know. I just got to say, actually, this is very, very true, and it is very stereotypical, but I had to do it, was that I actually, a few years ago, before my heart troubles, I actually went to Australia. I got some friends down there. And they said, oh, you know, I was doing a bucket list, and they said, oh, you should come and see the Barrier Reef. They said, oh, it would be on my bucket list, but it's never going to happen. And they said, come and stay with us. We're right on the Barrier Reef. Anyway, after we got over the fact that they weren't joking and they were actually being serious, I went, and in Cairns, where they live, they've got like on the seafront, they've got this lovely park and all palm trees and what have you, and they've got barbies that you can go and use, and they're there all the time. You just got to clean up after yourself. But they're actually public barbecues. And I just looked at her and I went, go on, can I? She looked at me. She went, you're not what I think. I went, yeah. Please, just let me do it, please. And I did. I threw a shrimp on the Barbie. Yay! Well, Doug, I'm just not putting those up now. I'm sorry. I told you, you can say what you want. They're not going up. But yeah, she was like, Chris, you know. I did get a few funny looks, I've got to be honest with you. But I did, you know, I did the run around the barbecues with my shirt over me head in celebration. Oh, that was a good holiday. That was a good holiday, I tell you what. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they got actually in Germany in 2006, they actually got through the group and got to the round of 16. But yeah. I do honestly feel that they have probably... you know, they're almost making the numbers up, really. You know,
yeah. They've had their heyday. Although, as I said, recently they have qualified for, you know, back to backs. So can't fault them. And teams like Australia are underdogs. They're underdogs because you're already, you know, we're sat here now already writing them off.
Yeah,
and yet. Look at Denmark last year. Nobody saw the togetherness they were going to put in the Euros, and they did.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, let's not write them off too soon.
Like you say, it's tournament football. We know we've seen favourites go out. We've seen so-called big teams like England, you know, get a wallop in. So you shouldn't write them off. At all, but and to be honest with you, I think if we saw, say, Australia go through, you know, at the expense of, let's say, a France, you'd be quite happy to see that sort of shock result happen.
Yeah, you would. But it, from what we, you know, we're sat here saying that out of the four, they're probably the least likely. You know, they'll probably be expected to be waltzing back to Matilda before the. Before the, you know, the group stages ended.
Yes, yeah. Right, let us on this moment. Let me just get rid of these, and then we all go like that. So I'll bring us back like that for a second because I just have to. Oh no, I don't. Not yet. I don't. Not yeah. Misses. Let's bring it back because it's that time when we are going to predict who goes through. And I'm going to come back for yours in a second, Dan. But Doug, although he's not here in person, he's here in presence. I feel him. You know, I can hear bagpipes in my head. You know, somebody's humming the Delamitri song just behind me there. Don't come home too soon. He's actually gone for Denmark top, France second, Tunisia third, and Australia fourth. For Group A, at the start, he went for Senegal to top the group, Netherlands second, Ecuador third, and Qatar fourth. In Group D, England top, Wales second, USA third, Iran fourth, which is interesting because if England get through, whether it's first or second, we will play either Senegal or the Netherlands. So there's going to be a tough run if we're going to do it. And Group C, Argentina top, I think, yeah. Mexico second, Mexico, Poland and Saudi Arabia. So let us change this over and I can bring... Let us pray, exactly. That's what you get when you support England.
No shit, Chris.
Sorry?
No shit. Yeah. Brain hands next to an England badge.
Well, you've not got World Cup winners 2022 on there.
No, I have not made that arsehole mistake yet.
Yet. Right, here we go. So, we are looking at Group D. Oops. That went bigger than I thought it would do.
Hey.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. I've not heard that for years. Okay, so who do you think, Dan, is going to top the group? I need a drum roll.
France.
No surprise then. I was building that up for you to say Tunisia.
I mean, I do have a bit of a mental streak like Brad, but I'm not.
You're just mental.
I'm not ready to be locked up yet. No, France are gonna be top. As I say, we've been saying that they've got, you know, they've got that tag on their shoulders of being the holders of the last World Cup. They've not been beaten since 2014, but then, you know, the fact that they've managed to win a tournament since then, you just expect them to keep it going. And
yes, you do. Yes.
I can't see anything other.
They're almost like a latter day Germany, aren't they?
Yeah. The thing is, though, I've not really had a bet really on the football for a while, and if I did and I put France atop the group, they'd probably not even qualify, knowing my luck. So, I might just do it just so that they don't.
Who are you going to put in second place?
It's going to, Denmark. Denmark going in second. I was torn between Denmark or Tunisia because I think Tunisia will surprise a few people. But saying that, Denmark for me have the stronger of the two teams. It's just that togetherness sometimes. You could be the world's shittest footballer, but if you had somebody at the side that was spurring you on and you felt like you had a really good connection with and it worked.
Yes.
You know, it can bring you on leaps and bounds. So for that, Denmark have that, and that's why I'm going to put them second.
Yeah, no, and I think the neutrals out there will want Denmark to do well because of Christian Eriksen.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Although there'll be some fans out there going, nah, fuck it, past it now, move forward.
Well, yeah, well, they will, but I wouldn't begrudge Denmark doing well. Do you know what I mean?
It's a bit like the situation with Wales qualifying and beating Ukraine. You know, people are a bit like, oh, Wales, why have you done that for? You know, give them a buy into the tournament. But then yet again, they'll be like, no, sod off. You stole our Eurovision off us. You're not getting into the World Cup.
I take it then we're going for Tunisia in third.
Well, this is what I was saying. I was torn between it, but then I thought Tunisia is not going to get second. I can't see him being that high up. Something at the back of my mind twigged when I said that, going, do not rule Australia out. So I'm going to put the Aussies third.
Oh, there we go. So you've gone for France first, where Doug went for Denmark. You've got the other way around because you've gone Denmark second, where Doug went for France. And you've even got your Tunisia and your Australia's the different way around, with you going Australia third, Tunisia bottom. Doug's gone Tunisia third, Australia bottom.
Yeah, I mean, they may be at the bottom of the world, but I think they'll at least finish third in this group stage.
Right, let's have a look at what people have been saying. So Scott and John, welcome along to the group. James, France just to edge top spot and Denmark second, said James. Scott says, Dan, we'd be getting a championship badge tattoo if you win the league this season.
No, I didn't get one the last time we won it either.
Cyber Leader, hey Chris, how are you? Happy with transfers so far? Yeah, all right, mate. Just because you signed a tit for your goalkeeper, yeah, that's enjoy it.
What's his nickname? El Nipel.
Oh, come on. I mean, they are old, but I'm old, so it's allowed. Yeah, I hope you're well, Cyber Leader. Thanks for popping
in.
Hope
you're well.
Everybody's saying hello to everybody else. Anthony, big up, lads. Hope you're well. Come on, you Saints. Indeed. Yeah, he's happy that Arola is still really signed on at the club. He was a good goalkeeper. I don't blame you, in fairness, mate. Depends if Casper is still at Leicester. If not, I think we'll have to bet against Denmark. That's a fair point. Although, if he's still got Vestergaard, come on, where's your loyalty, Scott? Cyber League. Oh, yeah, I've just said I think he is a good keeper. Yeah. Not the best, but he's a good keeper. Tunisia, are they like a Burnley, Dan?
No, they're probably a bit cleaner.
Well, all I will say is,
I can say that, Chris. Burnley's a shithole, but it's our shithole.
It is. It is. It used to be my shithole, but it is no longer. I passed my shithole on to you. So you have a bigger shithole now.
So what you did is you left me to fester in this shithole, Chris. That's what you did.
Oh dear. I'm just gonna go off something off topic a little bit here. So very, very quickly, you said who's your goalie now, Dan?
At the moment we are linked with a few. We're linked with Originate Muric, the youngster from Manchester City, standard, Zach Steffen at City as well, but I think it'll be Wayne Hennessy. He'll be our goalkeeper for next season if we don't sign another goalkeeper.
He's been around, hasn't he?
He has. Get around, get around. I get around. I said, get around.
I just want to get. I'm going to have a bit of a personal rant here. So I'm just going to.
Go on, Chris. Stick it to him. Stick it to the bastard. Go on.
I'm just going to remove you for a second, Dan, then I'll bring you back in. Because I said this earlier, and I should. I mean, putting it up on social media, you accept the blowbacks that you get when you put something on like this. But I just found it. I don't agree with racism in any form. Let me just say that from the start. I don't agree with racism in any form at all. But I did have a wry smile early today when I read about Gary Lineker complaining that he was racially abused for having darker skin when he was playing football. And I'm thinking, is this the same Gary Lineker that used to bully me at school and take the piss out of my disability? I'm just thinking, you know, sometimes karma is a wonderful thing. I'm sorry, Gary. I say I don't agree with racial abuse at all, but I think you got what you fucking deserved because you were a bastard at school. And if you got a bit of, you know, maybe you felt, or maybe you had a chance to feel how I felt at school when you were bullying me over my disability. So, yeah, Gary, nice one. You got what you deserve, mate. Now fuck off back to the BBC. Good.
You know what, Chris? That's spot on. End of the day, it comes back. It does a full 360, does karma. If people are quick enough to give it you at school, then, you know, how is he saying he's dark for?
I know.
And why in the early onset of his career? It was quite dark in a World Cup when it was shitting on the pitch.
Yeah, he, you know what he's like. He's like, you know, he's not just a BBC commentator. He thinks he's like David Icke's number two, and you know, he's Jesus to his God. he tends to believe he's more than he is.
You took it to the jug he'd get anyway. Put it that way. Put it that way. I've got old Geordie now. You took it to the jug he'd get. How are you?
Like I just said, like I put on Facebook and Twitter, and like I said, and those of you that thought it was quite funny, I have unfriended you and unfollowed you, so I don't really give a shit. But hashtag karma. That is all I can say. Dan,
when it comes to personal, Chris, when it comes to something personal, it's somebody that's okay, he's in the limelight, but he's affected you as a young child, and it's as we said, karma comes back round and it hits people hard. So about time he got his comeuppance, really, if that's the sort of person he was as a young lad.
Yeah, yeah. Like I say, I did have a wry smile, you know, but there we go. Dan, thank you very much, young man.
Not a problem. Happy to help.
We do know that you do have your own channel. Details are in YouTube below, but please give a shout out to where people can find you.
Yeah, so all you've got to do is search Turf Moorhouse on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, all social media platforms. I don't really need to say them all. But yeah, all you got to do is search Turf Moorhouse. Moorhouse being one word, as it's my last name. And yeah,
fans on there. Burnley, by the way, guys, they speak like that.
We are robots. But yeah, no, thank you for having me, Chris.
It is easy to find. And what is also easy to find is these discounts.
Leicester lead again! The goals are flowing here now!
The Leicester Till I Die shop is now open.
For all your Leicester Till I Die merchandise,
visit the Leicester Till I Die shop at our website.
So, thanks to Dan for joining us. Thank you for watching, if you have been watching. And if you have been watching and you've been watching on YouTube and you haven't yet, please give us a subscribe, smash those likes, and give that notification bell a little tinkle. Not a big tinkle in the corner like Dan does. And if you are listening on podcast more than once, Dan, more than once, and if you've been listening on your favorite podcast station, whatever, or platform, whatever that may be, thank you so much for doing that. And like I say, you've seen our sponsors there. Don't forget, Three Retro as well are going to be sponsoring our coverage of the Women's Euros, England Women Euros, the best place to get your choice of retro shirts. That's 3intro.co.uk. introchamp.com, as you saw, if you want one of these little video clips that you see on my channel, $6, which is about $4.95 at the current exchange rate. 10% discount if you go to faithfulgrips.co.uk, and it isn't that an Ansommer's subsidy. It is actually any of your gamer needs, whether it's wires, connections, or anything like that. They are the place to go. There's a quote you can go. It's in the description on YouTube. Quote that, and you'll get 10% off if you quote that code, and 5% off if you are a member of Leicester Till I Die. And you can easily do it by just by joining below. You will get 5% off any of this marvelous merchandise here. How the devil are you? T-shirts, Leicester Till I Die hashtags. You can get a pen. If you want to sit down and work things out, you know, the pens are available. Personally, I prefer toilet paper, but there we go. Sorry. A whole wide range, www.leicestertillidie.com/shop. Thanks to everybody who has been in the chat as well, and all the mods for doing the job. Really do appreciate it. Thank you very much. I will see you on Wednesday for the quiz. Take care, stay safe, and remember, don't do anything that I wouldn't enjoy. And one last time, hashtag karma.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye, and see you next time.
Watching these videos are tremendous. You better like the duo. I'll be back.
Sports
Social Podcast Network.